If you'll turn with me this afternoon to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, and we'll read our passage of Scripture this afternoon. Matthew 22 and verse 42. May the Lord bless the reading of the Scripture. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus answered them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They said unto him, "Son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool." If David then call him Lord, how is it he is his son? And no man was able to answer him a word. Neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. This afternoon, I want to speak on that subject that is brought to us in the Word of God, and that is, what think ye of Christ? Through the years, we've heard a message or so on this particular text. This particular question, I believe, is a question that every child of God has dealt with. It's not a subject, it's not a question that we will dodge. It's a question that we're willing and able to answer out quickly. It reminds me of years that's passed when we were all in a grade school class and how it was a form of teaching. The teacher would ask a question and then the first one to raise their hand would have the opportunity to ask the question. None of the answers were really true or accurate, and that was the form of teaching. Because when the student would answer the question, maybe one part of it or two parts of it, then the teacher would have an opportunity then to go through the answer of the student and give them a more satisfactory answer. When it comes to the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, it is something that every child of God is ready to raise his hand. He's ready to defend the faith that he has in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something that we're eager to do, because when God speaks life into our hearts, it is something that we are bubbled up inside, wanting to witness of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know where we've come from. We know of the destruction that we have passed by. And now, since God, since the Lord has come to live within us, now we're ready. We're willing, and not only willing, but anxious to give an answer of the faith of Jesus Christ. This afternoon, I want to speak to you on that very subject. It's a subject that makes us feel good inside, because within every heart of every child of God, there is a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, if there's not a witness within our hearts of the love of God in Christ Jesus, then no, probably so, there's no life within you today. There is a song that we sang here, and we sang it quite often, and it's entitled, "More, More About Jesus." And it goes like this: "More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me." more about Jesus, let me learn more of his love, his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. There's a pronoun that's used, and it's me in this song. The whole song is about Jesus and me. The relationship that we have with Christ is a personal one. It's not a collective one. It's not a lack of a church, but it's a personal relationship that we have with the Lord of glory. That is what gets us through the darkest hours. That is what brings us through every tragedy in our lives. That is what causes us to have a joy deep down into our souls. This song, I believe, speaks about what it is and what we think of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord is precious to the child of God, and he lives knowing that Christ's work and his sacrifice that is all important in our life. You see, there's a creed within our hearts. There's a creed within our souls, and it's all about what God has accomplished for us. We have many things to enjoy in this life. You have your families, you have your jobs, you have your vacations to look forward to, and just days to come. But you know, the greatest joy that we'll ever have is knowing God, to know the Lord, to know that our hearts are secure in the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not something that I've built, not something that you have tattered together with even a needle or a thread, but something that has been made for you, that has been made sufficient for you, that has a foundation that will never crumble. Something that will stand through every storm. Through every storm of life, it will stand firm and it will be there forever. We have another verse in the scripture that says, I dare not trust, or the song, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. No other sound gives the child of God more hope than knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. We have in our life so many things that we get involved in, so many things at work, play, but the greatest joy for a child of God is to talk about his love for Almighty God through Christ. And why is it so? It's so because we have received the work of Christ. We have received the ransom purchase of Jesus Christ. We benefit. We are the beneficiaries of the death of Christ Jesus. Christ died for his people. But more than ever, he died for me. He died for you in particular, not collectively, but for you as an individual. And there it gives us hope, gives us great joy. Without this joy, without this hope this morning, we have no hope in this life. It will be a tireless life and little to look forward to. But in God, in Christ, in knowing that our salvation is secure in him, that we shall be with him in days to come, gives us great liberty in this life. This world has little to offer us. Most of us here today have been here for a few days. We've gone through grammar school and high school and college. We've gone through two or three different careers. And now, in the last parts of our life, we look back and I ask myself the question, what is it? What is it that this world has offered me? What has all of the companies that I've worked for given me? What is it that my neighbors has afforded me? What is it that my best of friends have given me? The answer is little or nothing in this life. If all that you ever have is in this life, you have nothing. You have little. You have nothing if you don't have God. If you don't have Him, we have little or no satisfaction. First of all, I'm thinking now about what you think of Christ. And my first point this afternoon, and I do have three. The first one is, what you think about the person of Christ? Whose son is He? This is the question our Lord put to the Pharisees in the words in our text. But it's a question that I put to you today. What do you think of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? Once again, years ago, I remember we were asked to go home and to write on paper what we believe. What we believe to be true of Almighty God, just in order to put things on paper. And I have found it so. To speak is to one thing, but to write is something else. And when you receive a letter from a friend, when you read the words of it from his hand, you get more of perspective of who that person is. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory in our life. This truth has been communicated to us today. And I want to speak more about that. No one that has ever partaken of the Spirit of God will speak lightly of Him. In this day and time, people use the name of Jesus Christ too lightly. We use the name God too lightly. It is the eternal Heavenly Father that we speak of. And when we speak of Jesus Christ, we may even use the term the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord. Full description of who Christ is. But in this day and time, we use it too lightly. But for every child of God today, we speak up without hesitation, and we say with a clear voice, as those of old who did, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I think of all the denominations. I think of all the churches. I think of all of the millions of people today who profess to be children of God. And I ask this question to them today. I ask this question to you. What do you think of the person of Jesus Christ? Whose son is He? If Jesus Christ is not the very God of very God, then why should I preach another sermon? For it would be not a gospel. It would only be a system of moral ethics and philosophy. It is the divinity of our Lord that gives the sanction to the death of our Lord Jesus Christ and makes Him such a high priest as becoming us, one who by His infinite mercy of His sacrifice could make a full and perfect sacrifice to an infinite and offended God. But if Jesus Christ be no more than a mere man, if He be not truly God, we might say He might be the most vilest sinner that ever appeared in the world. For He accepted the divine admiration from the man who had been born blind, as we can read in John 9, verse 38. And He said, Lord, I believe, and He worshiped Him. Those who know Christ have a witness concerning His divinity. It is His divinity that is the foundation of the person of Jesus Christ. Besides, if Christ be not properly God, our faith is in vain. We are yet in our sins, for no creature being through the highest order could possibly merit anything of God's hands. In this day and time, we have a faith that is not a faith of Almighty God. It is a faith that we put together all by ourselves. Men today believe, but yet they have no understanding of who the person of Jesus Christ is. We cannot believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ unless we know who He is, that He is the Son of God, and that He is God Himself. The Scripture says that He was in the form of God, that in Him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead. When our Lord Jesus Christ walked on this earth, He was God. He was fully God. The Spirit, the Father, and the Son is manifested wherever the Lord Jesus Christ was. Not one time will you find in the Scripture a separation of the Son and then the Father and the Spirit. They're always accompanied in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ assumed that title before Abraham was, I am. And again, I am the Father, our one. He's one with the Father. He is the God-man. He's both God and man. But secondly, what do you think of the manhood and the incarnation of Jesus Christ? For Christ was not only God, but He was God and man in the same person. Many times we'll find a neighbor, a friend, who believes in God, but they don't believe that He was God and man. There's a separation there. Yes, He was this, but He was that at this time. We believe that Christ was fully God at all times and had all the power of His Father. They said unto Him, the Son of David. That was the answer of the Pharisees. That was the best that they could come up with. They knew that He was from the tribe of Judah. They knew that He was from the house of David. So they answered the question like that. He was a son of David. But the Son of David is a descriptive term of our Lord, but it doesn't speak as clear as we want to be clear today. Yes, He was a son of David, but yet the Lord was David's Lord. He was the Son of David, but yet He was David's heavenly Redeemer. And that is a particular mark that we want to make clear. And then I'd like for you to say, think with me this afternoon, and that what you think of Christ and the love of Christ. Do you not think it is wondrous the love that Christ has for us, especially when we consider that we were Christ's bitter enemies at one time, and that He would have been infinitely happy if we weren't even a part of it, notwithstanding we had perished before. We are sinners, but we have Christ, and we have His love. This love, the Scripture says, restrains us. I thought of an illustration of the love that Christ has for us, and that would be a family. I'm looking at a family, a father. And let's say that the father has five sons. Each son is loved of the father. But there's one son, we'll call him the youngest son. And my question to you is this. How much concern to the youngest son how much concern to the younger son have concerning the love that the Father has for the other four? Do you think he spends much time trying to figure out how much his Father loves his four brothers? I think not. I think that the only thing that captivates his mind and heart is how much my Father loves me. That is the factor of the love that Christ has for us. It is a desire within every one of our hearts as children of God to know more of the love of God for us in Christ Jesus. I know today that God loves you as his children, but I must tell you that the love that God has for me is completely different from that he has for you. Because the love that God has for each one of his children is completely different. It's like the love that you have for your own children. You love them all. But if you were honest with me, you would have to say in a quiet voice, there's one child that has won my heart and soul. And that is the illustration that I want you to think about now. When it comes to the love of Christ for you, you have a special place in the heart and the life of God and in the work of Christ in your life. It is this love that God has for you that causes you to believe and to trust and rely upon the finished work of his work on the cross. That love of God is something that carries us through every day. As the love of a father for a son, it will carry every boy through every day. And I think today, the greatest gift that God gives us is to feel and to experience that special love that God has for us as his sons. Thirdly, I would have you to look and to think with me concerning what you think of the being justified by Christ. In this day and time, justification is not a top priority in the preaching, in the pulpits in this country. Everyone has some general idea of what it is to be justified. I feel that I can speak for so many because my heart is riddled with the same thought. You know, we're all not altogether unprofitable in our own minds. But the scripture says that we are unprofitable, that all of our righteousness is as filthy rags, and there is nothing that I can ever do to earn than to receive the grace of Almighty God. There is nothing good. All that you see and all that you hear and all that will ever come from me will be the worst filth of this world, because this flesh will never be converted in this life. Only death will take care of this flesh and bring us unto God. This morning, I would have you to know that being justified by Christ is a work that is totally of God. There's nothing that I can stop doing today to be justified. There's nothing that I can do. I can't move. I can't change jobs. I can't change friends to be justified before God. There's nothing that I can do to enhance my position before Almighty God. It's the work of God in the work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. It's what Christ has done for me. It's what Christ has done for you. And it's what Christ will do for others. When God comes and reveals himself to his children, we'll come to know that special love of God. And we'll come to know what it is to be justified, to be cleansed, to be set free of all of our sins. Not that you'll not sin again, but you'll be free of them. You'll be reckoned to be righteous before Almighty God. May God bless the thought this day. those who feel that they can do something and let Christ make up the rest will be fine that they're mistaken in days to come. They forget that God is a consuming fire, and that when we stand before God, we stand before Him without anything, without any of our filthy righteousness in this life. Regardless of what we become, whatever profession we take up on ourselves, it will not enhance us before Almighty God. We stand before God in the days to come, and there will only be one question asked. Who represents this one before the throne of God? And our Lord will speak for us, and that we are His, and we wear the robe of our Lord Jesus Christ. We wear the same righteousness of Christ before Almighty God. We have nothing to bring before Him. We have nothing but disgust and sin in this life. We need someone to bear our witness for us before God. The scripture says, "The life that I now live in the flesh," says the apostle, "is the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me." Does it speak to you today of what that means? The life which I now live in the flesh is the faith of the Son of God. That is all that we need in this life. All we need is to have the faith of Jesus Christ in our life. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not my life. It's His life that is betrayed before God. That is the life that God looks upon. He doesn't look upon you going to work or what job you do or how good you are at it. He looks upon you, upon us today, upon how we are with Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that God can see within us today. It gives us great hope today because we know that even though I can't be perfect, yet He is. He shall be, and He shall be there evermore. I can be faithful to you for a period of time, but my resources may be diminished. I may not be able to continue to be faithful to you in days to come. A wife, a husband, they get married and they're faithful to each other. And that faithfulness is bound by love between the one and the other. Today, what we have is all of God, and it's not any of ourselves. The faith we have is not my faith. It is the faith that I have inherited from Almighty God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. I have one more thing that I'd like to speak to you about. It's a passage of Scripture. Justification is called by some as the wholesome doctrine of the Scripture. Why would you think they would call justification the wholesome doctrine of the Scripture? Because this one doctrine is the summation of who Christ is to us. He is our justification. He is even our sanctification. I remember so many years ago I heard the word sanctification for the very first time. It was a long word in the Scripture, and I had little understanding of what it meant. And for many years I thought it was my faith that I had in this life. But my sanctification is not my works in this life. My sanctification is that which is Christ. It's His life. It's His merit. It's His finished work for me. The Scripture says, "Oh, everyone that thirsts, come unto me. Come unto the waters of life and drink freely. Come and buy without money and without price. Behold this morning the fountain that I speak of that is so precious is the fountain and the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. The fountain that every child of God is eager to rush underneath is the bleeding side of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not of this world. It's of God. It's of the Spirit this morning. And to everyone that finds his way under the bleeding side of our Lord Jesus Christ and is washed and is cleansed by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, you're justified and you're sanctified in knowing him. Look unto him whom we have pierced. It was my sins that opened the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was my sins that caused the blood to flow from his side. It was my sins that nailed him to the cross. It was my sins that took his life on the cross of Calvary. Every child of God should focus our hearts and our minds upon the passion of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when we have the Lord's Supper, we take within our hand the wafer that represents the bread, which represents the body, the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then we take the wine that represents that blood that shed from the side of our Lord Jesus Christ. These two brought together, the broken body and the blood of Christ, represents my justification, represents my sanctification, represents my life, my hope before Almighty God. All the things of this life are all going to pass away. All of my friends are going to pass away. All of my neighbors are going to pass away. All of my jobs are all going to pass away. Our mothers and fathers will all pass away. All of our brothers and sisters will soon pass all away. And we'll be left without anything in this world. But if we have Christ, we have everything that our minds and hearts can desire. I think of Naaman. When Naaman was cleansed of leprosy, when he looked down and found his body clean without leprosy, do you think that there was joy in his heart and soul? When I think of the woman with the issue of blood, when our Lord healed her, do you think that she looked upon her body with great joy and amazement? Do you not see today that if we see ourselves as we really are, filled with symbolic leprosy, filled symbolically with an issue of blood, and we look upon ourselves today and we see someone that God looks upon as white and clean and righteous before Almighty God, does not this cause you to give praise unto your Lord and Savior, knowing that it was He, not you, His work, not yours, that has brought you into the faith of Jesus Christ? This is what it is to be a Christian. This is what it is to believe and trust God. This is something we commend to all that hear us. It is the witness of our hearts, our souls, that all that we love might know Him and see the grace of God as God has revealed it to us. May God bless you. May God richly bless you today. May God open blind eyes. May God open our hearts to receive the grace that is in him. In Jesus' name, amen.